Welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this spirit-filled message, that it blesses your week and brings you joy and perspective. To connect with us, hop on social media, and for more information, head to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Yeah, please take your seats. Being older, I have no problem with silence. I just want to honour Pastor Jed Garth. He's here on the front row. And if it wasn't for Jed, we actually wouldn't be going to Mizoram to minister. I went with him on a trip, and again, I don't want to... I don't think I'd ever embarrass him anyway, but I just want to honour him tonight for the financial support he's sown into the Bible College, of his own personal finance. And, you know, we truly are, maybe we will reap some stuff that he has sown, and maybe we'll water some stuff that he's sown, but God's going to get the glory in what happens in Mizoram. And that is so really, really exciting. And Jed, I really feel, just someone lay hands on Jed for us tonight, because I just really feel, Jed, that the Lord I can only just say it this way, he's going to increase and increase and increase and increase Hope Point. Yeah, great. And it's going to be expansion on the inside that goes on the inside but comes to the outside. And it's going to be a light that is on a hill, and it's going to attract. And God says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't listen to what others say. Listen to what he's speaking to you, and run with that, because in that is your security, in the ability to hear God and run, and to raise up those around you to run well as well. Amen. 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 So I'm all over the place a little bit tonight. They're all mean, because they know when they put me in a prayer line and they pray for me. They're all just so wicked, because they sort of go, let's get him smashed so he can't preach. And I know what you're all doing, but that's okay. I'm feeling happy tonight, which is a good place to be, good place to preach from. It's never good to preach from a place of unhappiness. I just want to give God the glory this morning. I mentioned about the giving for Mizoram, that we raised about $1,315, and it'd be amazing. It would be amazing if we could raise another a certain amount of money to take it to 2,000. That would give them food basically for a year. You know, it just goes such a long way over there. And tonight, somebody, and I know these, I'm not doing this to honor anybody, because I know this person is very, very, they just love God, and that's all they would do. They handed a check for $700. I mean, God is so good. Let's give God the glory, because I want to tell you tonight, God is up for some glory tonight. Our team is amazing that's going over. You know, the church doesn't give money to go and run this youth camp. The people that go on the youth on this trip, they save the money and then throw the party for the students over there. And I want to talk a bit about that lifestyle tonight. In fact, is it okay if I go a bit hard tonight? You can do better than that, because I'm not going to go hard if you don't do better. Listen, the AM crowd were a lot more responsive. And there was only like three people. No, they were all jumping up and down and going crazy. Now, we were singing, I surrender all my heart and soul to you, my love. Yes? What was that? Surrender, that song. Beautiful surrender. I surrender all my heart and soul to you, my love. Jesus lived that way. He lived as one whose heart and soul was surrendered to the one he loved. We're talking expansion years. We're talking about where God is taking us as a church. We're talking about, it's not I Have Learned the Secret, that's Fred's title. But that's okay. I'm not pointing out the mistakes. I'm just saying that's not my title. My title is Fulfillment. And the reason I want to go there is because I believe God wants us to be a church that is fulfilled and also fulfills the calling that is on it. as a church. And if we don't get that, we need to understand. I am going to go hard tonight. I'm going to touch a few sacred cows, if that's okay. A few golden calves, let's smash them down a little bit. I'm believing to see a church whose people don't say, hey, I wonder if I'll go to church today. They cannot stay away because the irresistibility of the Lord their God. And listen, you can call me old-fashioned. I know what the stats are. I know the stats are now people go 1 in 3 weeks to church. Listen, I want to tell you, if you're a parent here, I should be preaching to the morning crowd maybe. If you're a parent here and your kids are saying to you, hey, are we going to church today? There is something wrong. Our heart should be, that is our default. Not, can I fit it into my calendar? That should be our default. Because I want to tell you something. Everybody, if I said, who wants to see revival? Of course. That's the easiest preach in the world. Revival. I want to tell you something. God is challenging us. You need to get in personal revival. You need to be in personal revival in your home life, in your room, in your work, in everything that you do. But I want to tell you, you know, when we said that scripture tonight, somebody said it tonight, where two or three are gathered in my name. Yeah. He wasn't setting that as a standard. He wasn't saying, hey, it's okay if there's only a few rock up. No, you know what? Adults, we need to rock up. We need to be those that have lived our lives to the full, and we've done the things that we've done. But, you know, we need to support both services as adults. Because I tell you, there is a whole generation that is crying out for mums and dads. That is crying out for mums and dads. There are people that are coming in the morning services, in the evening services, and we need to throw open those doors. I want to tell you something. There is something about expansion that people don't tell you. There is something about revival that people don't tell you. God will do that as we rise up. As we rise up and say, we are serious, God. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Pour it through me. Make it happen through me, God. It's not striving. I'm not interested if you think that's striving, because it is not the truth. We need to make ourselves available to God. God makes himself available to those who make themselves available to God. And yes, he does show up unannounced at times. But I want to tell you, right the way through the Bible, there is a precedent for me saying God shows up, speaks to people, and they make themselves available and say, yes, God, let me do your will. There's a sign hanging in, this is fizzy. It's always dangerous. There's a sign hanging in my local supermarket. I want to talk about expansion fulfillment. I'm talking about fulfillment, personal fulfillment, because I believe God wants to expand us in that area. There's a sign hanging in my local supermarket that tells me, as a customer, not only do I have rights as an Australian consumer to get refunds, but if I eat, drink, wear, use, play, or read any of their products, and they do not make me sublimely happy, if I don't feel downright deliriously comatose with satisfaction with every aspect of my purchase, if indeed ecstasy and enlightenment are not achieved after interaction with their products, whether it's a donut, a leaf blower, a coconut water, or a t-shirt, I can return it within 30 days and get my money back. Wow. No questions asked. So, thank you, a non-burpy water. So I put this satisfaction guarantee policy to the test a few months back. I bought a plug-in whippersnipper. Is that what they're called over here? Yeah. Okay, because I get confused because they're called all different. I bought a plug-in whippersnipper. I hated it the second I got it out the box. Just one look at it said, it just screamed, I'm rubbish. My plastic string is going to melt to the spinny thing, and you will put it in the garden shed after your first use, and in a few years you'll try and sell it on Gumtree. It just said to me, return me to the store so I can be amongst those I love. So I tried it out. It was worse than rubbish. It was the runt of the whippersnipper litter. So I took it back, still assembled, and rather dirty from my attempts to convince myself that it would do the job. They didn't ask any questions. They just gave me my money back. So nonchalant was the guy on the checkout, I fully expected him to say, chuck it on the pile behind me, mate. with all the others. We, you know, we can't guarantee you satisfaction is their policy, but we will try to make you happy. You see, that is their policy. We see, it says satisfaction guaranteed, but actually what they're really saying is, we can't really guarantee that, but we will do our best to make you happy. I wonder if that's sometimes the state of the modern church. We'll try and make you happy, but we won't link you up to the one who satisfies. Let's talk about a few biblical satisfaction guaranteed promises, because that's a really good way to start a preach. John 4, verse 13 and 14 in the NIV says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst." You can start shouting anytime you like. Don't turn off and go to sleep when you read scriptures that are known to you. Listen to what's being said. Hear the Holy Spirit. Take it out of here. Fred says we want to have a church that says amen. You need to realize why we say amen. Amen means let it be so. Let it be so in my life. Not let it be so in Rachel's life. She's big enough to go amen herself. Aren't you, Rachel? Amen. Danny, you're big enough to say amen yourself, aren't you? Amen. The reason we say amen is that, God, I agree with you that the word that is being spoken is applicable to my life, that this person who is on the stage has spent many hours listening to your voice so that he can preach that word. And what I tell you what amen means, it means that something within you that is eternal has been spoken to, and it leaps up and it says, I want that. I need that. So don't go to sleep. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He was speaking of how when you start drinking of the water that Jesus is offering you, you will never thirst after your old, polluted, stagnant, stale lifestyle again. In fact, the water that you drink, the water that you drink begins to be a well in you, Jesus said. We've got to get our wells undug. The people that are born again in here, get your well dug. Jesus said, I want to be a river of life in you. I don't want to have to keep pouring into you. I want you to start pouring out of the goodness and the river of God that's in you. And anything else, is a lie of the enemy, because you are called to be a poured out servant of the living God, just like Jesus was. Now that's what I call satisfaction guaranteed, a scripture like that. John 15 verse 11, this is my commandment, that you love one another, what? That your joy may be full. Yeah. Full joy, we'll go hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let it be so. I don't have any joy. Well, read the scripture. This is my commandment. Oh, don't tell me what to do. I'm free. This is my commandment. Oh, I don't know about that. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. What's it? People that go, I don't have any joy. I'm trying to find happiness, but do you know what Jesus says? Go and love someone. Go and love on someone. That's why I'm talking about church attendance, not because I want a big booming church, although that would be very, very nice, because I want to tell you when there is momentum, there is something about that that is amazing, and it affects a region, and we want to be a big light on a hill. And I'm not ashamed of that. I don't care about the number thing, but I want to tell you something. We will go after numbers because I believe that God is in that for us as a church, not for the numbers itself. But the fact is that if you are brimming over with life, if you are an attractive person to other people in the sense of what God has put upon your life, they will come. And the more there is, the more they will want to come. You know, he wasn't saying, this is my recommendation, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. John 10, verse 10, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come, present tense, I love that about the scripture, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. Yeah. You are not excited enough about the life in abundance that wants to overflow. I'm not going to move on until someone stands up and says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Fred. Okay, I'll accept that, a little prompted. But we can run with that. You know what Jesus was saying about the thief who wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy, but I've come to give you life? He's saying, guys, stop buying the competitor's product. Have you looked at the list of ingredients in his product? It contains 97% sin and death, with flavorings of guilt, shame, and remorse in equal quantities. But I have come to give you a raging, bubbling, bank-bursting river of life. And he's saying, you dump the devil's product, because this is the real deal. That stuff will kill you. This will give you life. Oh, but it tastes so good. Tastes so good. It tastes so good. Then what we need to do is give God a chance to change your damaged spiritual taste buds. You need to spend the same amount of time that you spent in sin giving God that go, that he will change your taste for things. When we get in the presence of God, our tastes for the things of the carnal flesh change. And he gives us a taste for the spirit. Oh, I forgot to write smile every now and then at the top of the page. But then, because I sometimes find myself musing on the important things of life, I began to think a bit more about the supermarket satisfaction guaranteed policy, which sounds great, but actually, as I said, is more accurately a dissatisfaction sorted policy. I'll give you a few real-life customer complaints just to leaven the heavy load that you might be feeling. Anyway, real-life customer complaints. I want to hear a few. So, caller to Domino's. Domino's, hey, I ordered a pizza with four toppings. This is true. I ordered a pizza with four toppings and I just got a bread base. Domino's, sir, I'm truly sorry. Let me see how we can compensate you for this error. Caller, oh, never mind. I opened the pizza box upside down. Peter Jones tweeted his mobile phone company, hey, Optus, please get your SMS working. I sent this girl 246 texts last night asking her out, and not one of her replies has come through yet. Optus tweeted back, hey, Peter, that's a lot of texts. Maybe just send one next time to 246 different girls. And then we got, if you could put that photo up, please, the one of the Lego. Oh, yes. So you can't really read it, but you can see it's a child's scrawl and these little Lego men down the bottom. So this is from a letter from a little girl. Dear Lego, I have a complaint to make about your Lord of the Rings sets. I realized it after my brother, Calvin, built the Shelob attack set. My complaint is this. The Hobbit miniatures are wearing shoes, 3! If you have seen the movies, you know that Hobbits do not wear shoes. If you could take this to heart, I'd be very happy. Thank you from Gwen. And then I began to think about our heavenly customer complaints at the Pearly Gates. So you rock up to the complaint counter at the Pearly Gates. Look, I need to bring my life back. It's pretty rubbish. It's not doing what it said it would do on the box. It's really not as enjoyable as I told it would be. Look, there are a few dents and scratches, but they're totally not my fault. Not only that, there appears to be bits missing. Oh, I see the bits get delivered over 80 years. No, I don't like that idea. I need to get this thing sorted and move on. I want a refund. I can't get a refund. Okay, well, I'll settle for a swap then. Could I have his life? Because on Facebook, he's always happy, healthy, seriously loaded, and constantly on holiday. No, can't get that. Well, what about a trade-in then? Look, I don't think you quite understand. not only is my life the wrong color and shape, it's the wrong style, it doesn't suit me, also it's the wrong size, it doesn't fit me like it used to, I've kind of outgrown it. Now we laugh at that rather nervously because we know that's what we're like sometimes. I don't like this life, I want another one. Let's just take a moment to contrast Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man. We sometimes shrink back from comparing our lives to the way Jesus lived his life. I mean, he's Jesus after all, yet he's our champion, the one we look to emulate. For Jesus was born as a child. He was subject to earthly parents and siblings. He was synagogue educated, an apprentice to his father as a carpenter. He preached and ministered, raised a team of disciples, and lived his life Father aware. And because he was aware of what was on his life, he lived his life awakened to a truth that he was not his own. And I believe a church in revival looks like people who are living as not their own. And that is scary territory. It's scary territory, but it's great territory. See, we love to live risk-averse when he says, jump in the water, get out of the boat, walk by faith. You know, all these things we put on the back of our toilet doors, I walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus is asking KCC this year to get out of the boat, walk. He's saying, walk by faith, not by sight. We didn't have the money for that room over there that was built. We're still waiting for the kids to fill it, but that doesn't change my faith. Because I tell you, God is looking for a people who believe in expansion but will dig the ditches that the water can go in and flow into. And I'm looking at a church that believes that too. One day, the Bible says, Jesus is walking towards John the Baptist and John shouts out, look, there he is, God's Lamb. He will take away the sins of the world. And everyone that was listening knew he was referencing Isaiah 53, verse 6 to 9, which says, we're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We're all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten. He was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. See, this event took place in the early years of Jesus' ministry. But you know, it's not once or twice, but 35 times the Gospels reference that Jesus did something or an event took place around Jesus that scripture or prophecy might be fulfilled. Where is he going with this? Jesus himself cross-references his life with prophecies found in Jeremiah, Moses, Elisha, the prophets, and the Psalms. In Luke 24, verse 34, he says, the risen Jesus, this is the risen Jesus speaking to the disciples, don't you remember the words that I spoke to you when I was still with you? I told you everything written about me would be fulfilled. How about you? Everything that's been written about you, everything that's been spoken about your life, every prayer that's been prayed over you, every prayer when you came up to the altar and said, God, I surrender all. There's nothing more I want but you. He's answering that prayer. Will you fulfill the call that's on your life? Everything written about me will be fulfilled, including all the prophecies from the law of Moses through the Psalms and the writings of the prophets, that they would all find their fulfillment. Jesus didn't live his life around personal fulfillment. This is, if you take anything away tonight, take this away. Jesus didn't live his life around personal fulfillment, but around fulfilling what was on his life. It's not popular, but it's the truth. I surrender all. What if I lived my life, what if you lived your life fulfilling what was on it, rather than focusing on my own personal fulfillment? I knew that would not get a loud amen, but I'm not here for that. Seriously. Because the truth is, there is something on your life that God wants to fulfill. And often it gets thrown off because we go after personal fulfillment in other areas and we run after other things. Fulfillment in the Greek is pleroo, which means satisfaction through accomplishing something. The world says try everything until you find the thing that satisfies. Isn't that true? Yeah. Rolling Stones, I can't get no satisfaction. I tried. I think that's how it goes. I could sing it. Try everything. You know, some of you were raised in Christian homes. That doesn't really mean a thing. Don't get me wrong. It is an amazing thing. But you've tried a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but if we were embarrassed less, I would say, hands up who's tried lots of different things. And did they satisfy? And I know what the answer would be. Yeah. Nope. Right. Sexual encounters, drinking, clubbing, drugs, Netflix, gossip. Rubbishing other people for going after what God has on their life. Right. It's like drinking seawater, where only the next fix satisfies for just a few moments. A career, marriage, children, ministry, nothing wrong with that. But if they're replacing the source, we need to go after the water of life. Jesus gives us a big key to living the fulfilled life. In John 4, 32, 34, he says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus was limited, crushed, overwhelmed, or sidelined when he submitted his will to the Father's will? I'll do the work for you because it's a day of rest. So Jesus uses an unusual word, meat. He said, My food is to do the will of him that sent me. That word, will, meat, means I have food for the soul which refreshes, nourishes, and supports me. I submit my will to his will. Some of us spend our lives dreaming about the grand gesture or the event that will start our ministry years. A prophetic word from Bill Johnson at a conference. A rich benefactor who recognizes what everyone has overlooked and gives you $1 million to go off to Burkina Faso to start a ministry amongst the prophetic pygmies. And you're laughing because I have those daydreams sometime. Don't look so holy. Because it's the truth, we daydream our lives away instead of fulfilling what's on our lives. Let me tell you what's said of Jesus between the age of 12 and 30, not a lot. Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Increased, expansion. We all love expansion? Yes. Do you love expansion? Yes. Do you love expansion? Yes. Great. This word, Jesus increased, expansion, it means to lengthen metal out by hammering. 'And slowly the metal is moved and changes and forms. Do you want your life to be formed, or do you want to take your life back and go, I'm happy with it as it is, a big old lump of iron ore? Or do you want to put yourself in the hand of God and allow him to expand you, lengthen you out? Be faithful in the little you have. Offer it to God and see him expand it. Got 3 points in finishing. Number one, the law of when and then. There is something that works against godly contentment in my life, and that's the law of when and then. When I get this promotion, then I'll really start shining for Jesus at work. When I have more time, I will start to serve at Kingdom Culture Church. When I get the salary raise, I'll spend more time with my family and kids. When I get the house in Kalanga, a popular spot at the moment, then I will start to live generously. When I find the girl or guy of my dreams, then I'll raise my standards. you need a news flash here. Everyone in church is looking for the same thing in a partner: purity, honesty, consistency, and standards. So you better hire them before you go looking, because they're looking for someone with high standards. That's free. Listen, it's how we live our lives in the when years that really counts. I'll say that again. It's how we live our lives in the when years that really, really counts. Or I'll feel expansion when I experience this milestone in my life. You can live in expansion in the when years, when everything isn't lined up. Church, we can live our life. I don't want you to switch off because I've got a few more things to say. I know we can live in expansion in the when years. You do not have to have all your spiritual ducks in a row before you get expanded and before God moves in your life and you see a nation turn to Christ. You see, the thing is, we go, I have to be perfect for this. Jesus is saying, I need you available, not perfect. Come with me, leave the rubbish to me, I'll sort you out. But we take our lives out of his hand instead of saying, not my will, but yours be done. I'm back in, come and hammer me out, Jesus. Do you know what Heather and I did in the when years when we were waiting to have children and we waited 8 years? Do you know what we did? We opened a house in London so that single young adults with problems could come and live with us and we could walk with them and help them. We didn't sit around moaning that the stars hadn't aligned and we couldn't get pregnant. It's the only example I could give you that I wanted to be real with you tonight. My best friend and best man and his wife popped out 7 kids in 8 years that we were waiting. Every single pregnancy was a stab in the heart. It could have been a stab in the heart. Oh, just get over it, brother. Jesus is all you need. But I think you're hearing my heart here tonight. What are you going to do in the when years? There were times when we held ourselves weeping on the bed and we thought, maybe this is our month. And it didn't happen. So what did we do? We found some people and we loved on them. God was saying, if you attend to my business, I will attend to yours. If you fulfill my business on your life, I will fulfill my business on your life. And there came a time as I was preparing this, it just always gets me every single time. I can tell you where I was, what I was doing. I was listening to Celine Dion on a cassette. On a cassette. You know what a cassette is? Good. I was listening to Celine Dion and I'd come to the traffic lights in Gander Green Lane in Sutton. There was a veterinary surgeon here. It is so clear in my mind. I can't remember much about the past. I'm really bad. I can remember this like it was yesterday. And the news came on because I had one of these posh cars for then where the news cuts across what was playing. And it did a news flash. And it basically read the news and it said, in Hackney Council are looking for adoptive parents. And I felt this. I heard God just say, now's the time. And that's when we adopted Fred. But I want to tell you something. That would have happened, but I could have spent 8 years in the when years moaning and complaining and living my life barren as we were. But I made a decision, and tonight you need to make a decision. Will you rise up or will you stay barren? Will you say, these are my great years. These are not the when years that I'm going to waste. These are the years I will rise up. I will be fruitful. Because I have come not to have me fulfilled, but to fulfill the will of God on my life. Number two, little foxes. Christy Mills was talking about this, but Song of Solomon 2 verse 15, the 1% things that get us. The little foxes are ruining the vineyards, it says in Song of Solomon 2. Catch them, for the grapes are all in blossom. Now, I was wondering, what does this mean? I want to tell you what it means. The vines are in bloom. If you ask Thomas and Kate what that means. But the foxes, they're just playing around and knocking all the flowers off. And if you knock the flowers off, you don't get any fruit. And I want to tell you something. Flower speaks of truth. I don't want to get too deep into it, but flowers speak of truth in the scripture. You know what happens? We get alive in God, we hear truth, and then we allow those little foxes to come in and play. That stuff that we want to play with on the internet, that drink, that secret drink that we want to have, that little flirtation that we want to have, that stuff that we say we will do and we don't do. And the flowers get knocked off our lives. The truth gets knocked out of our life and we don't become fruitful. Take us the little foxes, and it's the little things. What's knocking your blossom off? Turn to your neighbor and say, what's knocking your blossom off? There's 18 different incidents in Matthew alone in which Jesus does or says something that fulfills a prophecy. Some of them are blow your mind big, and some of them are easily overlooked and small. If I could get my beautiful assistant Craig up here, that would be amazing. We're not going to do the oil tonight. We're going to try and not make too much mess. Listen, God is asking. I want to tell you, KCC, you need to understand something. We're not getting like the Pharisees where we look at every little thing, but I want to tell you, God is interested in the little things. And he's saying, take care of the little things. Don't despise the day of small things, because I'm about to increase you. If you will take care of the small things, I will take care of the big things in your life. Now, I do have here a bag, which is not too bad. Thank you, Craig. Hold it like that. Thank you. I'll put the bowl under there, because I'm nice. So the Spirit is saying tonight, will you be a spring of living water, or will you just be someone that wants to get poured into? I'm going to say that again. Will you be a spring of living water? He said, I'll be in you a well of living water. Are you going to be someone that just wants to be constantly poured into? You need to make a decision tonight, church, because that's where we're headed. People that know how to pour out life and don't come here to get patched up. You know why sometimes you can't pour out? Because you leak. And it's the little things. Actually, if you could come over here, that'd be good. I mean, listen, yeah, this would be easier. Thank you. Be brave. Okay, every offense that comes your way, every sin that attracts you, every promise you break, every lie the enemy speaks and you take on board, every I won't do that again, I promise. Every someone else will do it. Every hurt you won't get healed of. Every unforgiveness you won't forgive. And the problem with that sort of thinking is that God's spending all his time trying to patch us up instead of us living in a new wineskin. You know what I've noticed? That even though you come here, some of us, all of us, occasionally, and we're like, please, someone come and pray for me, fix me up, pour into me. It's never enough. So you come on a Sunday and we, you know, or I come on a Sunday and we try and get anyone to pour their precious life, their time, their river into you. And, you know, we can get a bit fussy as well. And you know what we want to do? We want Pastor Kimmy to come along and... patch me up, Kimmy. And all the time, Jesus is saying, come and be poured out. Come and be poured out. You're not this bag of holes. You're a new wineskin. Jesus said, I'm not going to patch up that old wineskin because it will split. Come into the new wineskin. Be part of what God is doing. Thank you, Craig, for that. Amazing. And you know what? Someone needs to tell the devil in here, I'm done being your voodoo doll. Awesome. You know, it's not the pastors who aren't available to slap a band-aid on the hours of your life. The issues are, what are you allowing to pierce you? We weren't meant to be those that are pierced, because Jesus was pierced for us on the cross so that we didn't have to take that, so that we could live our whole life. Just one other thought on this. You know, we need a McDonald's mindset when we come to church with a need. Can you imagine if you rocked up at McDonald's and said, I want a triple bacon cheeseburger without the cheese, or the bacon, or the bun, but I need to be served by Ella. And they go, well, she's not in till Friday. I'll wait. See, I could be served by Jim, Janice, Jane, or Judy, because the product I'm after is my own little order that I've made, a specific order. It could be served by anybody. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. I don't have a bigger Holy Spirit than somebody who was baptized in the Spirit yesterday. I've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit. We start to do the wrong thing when we say, only that person can pray for me. In fact, what you need to do is go, Jesus, I need you. Come and fix me up, because that's what I really need. You know, the pastors have got the Holy Ghost. Connect leaders have got the Holy Ghost. The living room leaders have got the Holy Ghost. You can get excited. I mean, even the person sitting next to you has got the Holy Ghost. We turn our prayers into this great big thing at the front. I believe in the altar call. We turn it into this big thing of five people, when actually you just need to turn to somebody and say, I need what's on your life. Pray for me. I've got it. Honestly. I know this isn't comfortable and you might be looking, I don't know, but it's the truth. It's become an act instead of us saying, Jesus, I just come and bow. You have everything that I need. Everything that I need is in you. Everything I need is in you. Are you feeling it tonight? Everything that I need is in Him. And yes, people can pray for me. That's the right thing to do. We've got the keys up, which is great. I guess we could have the band up. And I'm finishing. Fred used the scripture this morning in my third. Circumstantial contentment. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in to be content. Both my children took a very different approach to education. Gabby lives for the school week. Fred lived for the weekend. Fred excelled in sports. Gabby excels academically, and Fred did too, in his own way. But both got educated. Listen, don't come to church without the mindset of, I need to learn. I'm going to get educated. Every single one of us should be taking notes. I'm believing for that church. Every single one of us. God, you're going to speak to me through this word. I'm going to suck it out of those preachers. Philippians 4, 11, 12, I'm finishing. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. Anyone know what it has been to be in need? I have. I also know what it is for God to provide. This week, God provided for us miraculously. Somebody gave us a lump of money, and the next day, Heather had a root canal. Well, that, I could have gone, well, that was a waste of money, wasn't it? Thanks. I wanted to buy something nice with that. Then Heather goes and gets a rotten tooth, and we have to get a root canal. No. God knew the need He provided beforehand. That's how I want to live my life. Anyone with me?
Yeah.
Good. Paul learnt something. God provides for my needs whatever the circumstances. See, God provides for your needs too. Can I get an amen? Amen. He provides for your needs. My testimony is He has always met my needs. You know, I know we have a lot of young adults here. We've got people that are in relationship, want to be in relationship, are looking around for a relationship. But you need to go into relationship. If you don't take anything else away from this, apart from the first thing I said, the second thing is, go into a relationship knowing that you've already got what you need. And if this works out, great. And if it doesn't work out, that's okay, because I've got all that I need. I love Kimmy and Steve. I love my wife. I love the couples that are older and have been married a while. But I want to tell you something. There's a secret that we've learned, that they do not hold everything that we need. God has provided for them as a partner for us. And Heather challenges me. She prays for me. She prophesies over me. She calls me into to fulfill my calling. She calls out the amazing identity on my life. But I want to tell you, my source is not Heather. My source is Jesus Christ. So if you're going into a relationship, you better make sure that you understand I've got all I need. And if this doesn't work out, yes, it's sad, but it's not going to ruin me. I'm not going to be pricked to death and all my water pour out and everyone have to fix me for the next 20 years and then I become a bitter old man or a bitter old woman. Because God is all that I need. Jesus is all that I need. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Paul goes on to say, "My God shall provide all your needs according to his riches in glory." What was he saying? He was identifying who the source was. God shall provide all your needs according to what? His riches. Not according to your circumstance. According to his riches. So it doesn't matter what circumstance in. You might be feeling sad, you might be feeling happy, you might be feeling lost, you might not know Jesus as your Savior. You might be need healing, but I want to tell you, it's not according to your circumstances, it's according to his riches. He is not bound by our circumstances. Is there a broken marriage? Then introduce those people to the source of life. Is there a broken heart? Get introduced to the source of life. Listen, if you've got needs tonight as we worship again, nothing wrong in having needs. I want to tell you a third thing you can take away with you. You might have needs, but Jesus never came to leave you needy. You may have needs, but I want to tell you this, I'm declaring over this church, we are not going to be populated with needy people. Now, hear my heart. I'm not talking about you have to pretend and all of that. I'm happy to have that talk with you. But I want to tell you, we need to get off our needs as our source of life and back on the source, Jesus, who is the source of life. He didn't come, came to meet your needs, not to leave us needy. So if you've got needs, you come forward tonight, because we're going to pray and you get connected to the one who meets them all. You know, you might be feeling like your life is like this bag of holes. Nothing wrong with that. But Jesus doesn't want you to come, get patched up tonight, and then next week, every single little thing that comes your way just punctures another hole in your life. You've got a new identity in Christ, amen? A new identity. So we'll throw it open. The guys will worship. I want you to be brave. I want you to be bold. I want you to say, maybe you're thinking about your fulfillment, the, how can I fulfill what's on my life? I can't even see the next day, but I want to tell you, God wants to fulfill what's on your life. He wants to walk hand in hand with you to fulfill. Do not be shy. I want to tell you again, the days of being shy at our altar calls, I tell you what, I'm going to run, and I've said this, and I do this. Every time there's an altar call and God says you get up there, I don't care whether I'm the senior pastor or cleaning a toilet, I'm going to go and get prayer. Because I need to get connected to the source, my mind sorted out, and back on the track running. Amen? Amen. Let's worship together.